the NEA, for example, the National Education Association, over the past 5 years, they've lost over 200,000 members. The American Federation of Teachers, equally, they've lost 100,000 members. So it's about 10% of the education workforce that have left their unions in the past 5 years. So there is a rapid decline in union membership in America. In fact, it's the largest decline in U.S. history.
Hey, Joyful Warriors, Tiffany Justice here with Moms for Liberty, and I'm so excited to be joined today by Erin Wythe, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Freedom Foundation. And Erin, I thank you for joining us today, and I'd love to learn a little bit more about your organization. I went to your website, which is freedomfoundation.com. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And I said, I looked and it said who we are, and this is what it says. And then I want you to kind of expand for me. The Freedom Foundation is more than a think tank. We're more than an action tank. We're a battle tank that's battering the entrenched power of left-wing government union bosses who represent a permanent lobby for bigger government, higher taxes, and radical social agendas. Hey, Joyful Warriors, does that sound familiar to you? Through education, litigation, legislation, and community activation, we have liberated public employees from political exploitation. I just thought that was such a great introduction to who the Freedom Foundation is. So Erin, welcome and fill us in a little bit more.
Tiffany, thank you for having me on. And I love the name, the Joyful Warriors podcast. I often refer to our crew at the Freedom Foundation as the Happy Warriors. So we're in good company here. Yeah, the Freedom Foundation started as a traditional think tank way back in the early 90s. And then more recently in 2014, we shifted into what I call a battle tank. And our battle is with government unions. I mean, we believe that they are the root of all evil in America. They are they're trying to promote socialism. They are trying to obviously turn our education system into something that should be unrecognizable to most Americans. And they do that by, the real scandal of this is that they do that by taking public employees' money and funneling it into left-wing politics. And most of these public employees, including teachers, have no idea that they can opt out of their unions and stop paying union dues. And hold these unions accountable. So that's what we're all about here, is empowering public employees to take a stand against these radical government unions.
Well, I'm all in. Where do I sign up? You know, I served as a school board member in Florida from 2016 to 2020, and it was such an interesting experience because up until that point, I hadn't really had a lot of experience with government unions, right? And, you know, you hear teachers' unions, and the teachers' unions are always talking about how they're, you know, standing up for the kids. And then I got on that school board, and I was blown away. I was blown away by how some of the people that I was serving with on the school board seemed to be in the pocket of the union. And I remember going into, you know, there are only certain times you can have private meetings, right, with the school board, what have you. And you can do that for bargaining. And I just remember one time, I'll share what I said because I'd say it from the rooftop and they can hold me accountable if they want for sharing. And I said, you know, you've got the union bargaining for the union, and you've got the district bargaining for the district. And then you've got the school board kind of bargaining for the school district or the union. Who's bargaining for the parents and the kids?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The whole premise of a government union is completely flawed, because when you take money from public employees' paychecks and then you use that money to pay for political candidates to go into office, when they sit across the bargaining table from one another, it's the same entity, basically.
Yep.
So the people getting screwed over in this arrangement are the taxpayers. So really, government unions should never have come into existence, and several people, including FDR, would have backed that up. But what we have today is, for the last really 60, 70 years, we've had these public employee unions, teachers' unions in particular, that have created this self-perpetual cycle that is self-fulfilling perpetual cycle that is basically making them rich. I mean, they're taking money from teachers, they're funneling it to liberal politicians who are raising taxes on the private sector so that they can hire more bureaucrats and then get them more money in the next election. So So what's happening here has been ongoing now for 60 years. And I believe the only way that you can break this cycle is by telling every public employee in America to stop paying these union dues. They're not getting benefits. They're not getting really any decent representational services. And I wrote about that on Fox News just yesterday. They're not getting any benefit. They're not getting any bang for their buck. Rather, the $1,100 a year on average that they're paying in union dues would be far better served in their pockets.
So let's just dig into this report for a second, because we have more and more teachers that are joining Moms for Liberty every day. They are fed up. They want to get back to teaching the basics. They do not want to lie to parents about their kids, you know, having mental distress. They wouldn't want to be lied to. Many of them are parents. And the other thing, I really think teachers don't want to be responsible for raising other people's kids. It's not their job. They're there to teach children, but they're not there to raise them. But what I'm seeing, Aaron, what we're seeing, right, especially with community schools, and I hope we'll talk about that, is this: the federal government increasing their footprint into education. The unions are super supportive because there's really no metric by which to be judged when you're talking about the whole child, right? And it increases their grip on kids and drives a wedge between the parent and the child. But again, teachers, what are you getting from your unions? I saw, Aaron, that Whirlpool is donating washers and dryers to schools because they saw that attendance goes up if the kids have clean clothes to wear. Okay, teachers, are they going to have you washing the kids' clothes too? Is that really what you're there to do, what you went to school to do, what your mission in life was, to raise other people's kids? So, Aaron, I'll stop with my rant for a second, because I just want teachers to know that being a member of the union is not the only answer for them when it comes to being able to meet the needs that they have in their lives outside of just being a teacher in that classroom.
I think that public perception is flawed when it comes to teachers and teachers' unions. Everybody assumes that your average teacher is like a diehard teacher union member and agrees with everything that the teachers' union does. It's not true. Generally, my wife was a public school teacher, and we still have friends that are currently teaching. They go into education because they want to teach kids. They want to teach reading, writing, or math. They want to benefit these kids' lives by educating them and giving them a decent education and preparing them for the workforce or preparing them for university. They do not want to do critical race theory. Right. They do not want to do sex ed. They don't want this nanny state that the government unions want. The teachers' unions in particular, they want everybody relying on them for government services because they know that at that point they can increase their revenue stream and become bigger and more powerful. So it's like I said earlier, the only way to undo that model is by empowering and educating all these teachers across America to get out of their unions. And one of the innovative things that we did last year was we created a Teacher Freedom Summit, we call it, which is basically where we've got hundreds of teachers from across the country to come together. These are like-minded traditional education teachers that want to get out of all that stuff, but they don't know how to fight back. So we give them a program that basically teaches them how to fight back against the radical teachers' union and their crazy ideology.
So let's stop for a second. Let's show that video so that everybody can kind of get a taste for what that Freedom Summit was like.
This event is one of the most incredible events that I've been able to attend.
The sky's the limit, and this is an opportunity, most of all, to take a stand and to make a change. Because if we don't make a change for education right now, we're going to lose our kids and we're going to lose our country.
I feel empowered at this conference, being in a room of 250 plus people.
To see teachers from all over the country who have rejected that union control and stood up to the bullies.
And if these meetings can keep happening, our voices will finally be heard, because we are the majority. And if teachers can fight back in the same way, by leaving their union, by challenging their union, we will no longer have a bully overseeing public school and telling parents to be scared of advocating for their own kids.
And it's our time to go make a change.
Okay, well, that's awesome. What an energizing room full of people. And we have a summit that we do once a year. I know when you get the people together and they start, you know, talking to each other and they're like, oh, you too? You know, that unifying and educating and empowering people really is so powerful. And so what are some of the common fears? Why do teachers feel like they need to be a member of the union, Aaron?
I think, first of all, they feel like they're alone. That's the number one thing that we hear from teachers. If I opt out of my union, I'll be the only one in my district that has. That's just simply not true. There are lots of teachers. I mean, the NEA, for example, the National Education Association, over the past 5 years, they've lost over 200,000 members. The American Federation of Teachers, equally, they've lost 100,000 members. So it's about 10% of the education workforce that have left their unions in the past 5 years. So there is a rapid decline in union membership in America. In fact, it's the largest decline in U.S. history, but people are doing it very quietly. My group, the Freedom Foundation, we exist to help these people to get out of their union. So we've created the documents. We have a legal team if they need it. We send these opt-out forms to the union on their behalf, literally in the tens of thousands. So we help these teachers every step of the way to get out. But yeah, that's the primary objection is I'd be the only one. And that's just not true. There's a movement happening in America of teachers that are opting out in droves.
So when government unions strike, who are they striking against?
That's a good question. It depends on, honestly, I think it depends on the district. It depends on the school board, because sometimes they're striking against people that are genuinely representing the taxpayer. Sometimes they're striking just for the notoriety of striking. I mean, I lived in the Pacific Northwest for a long time, and we just saw in Portland, one of the longest strikes that we've ever seen in Oregon. And really, it was over, they were fighting with people that the teachers' unions put into office. So at the end of the day, the school board just caves to the union's demands. And the scandal of this is that it's an unsustainable model. So you're creating a system where the taxpayer burden is far too high, and it's going to be unsustainable for years to come. It's not going to be a desirable place to live anymore. And taxpayers should be asking the question, what are we getting back for the deals that the teachers' unions are cutting? I can guarantee most of the time it's not a superior public education system.
So what percentage of government employees are members of their union versus like private sector employees? Do you have those statistics? Because I think it was much higher for government employees, correct?
Oh, yeah, it's around 33%. But that number is decreasing for the first time in U.S. history. We've seen it over the past 5 years go down. And that's despite government growing. Government pretty much always grows, so there are more people to potentially unionize in government.
We're about to change. But, we're about to change that, Aaron. We're about to do some reversals on that. But all right.
Yeah. So, but we're seeing it. We're seeing it decline past those rates, sure. Which is encouraging. It means that we're putting the power back in the hands of people and out of the hands of these radical union bosses.
So I've heard, so Government Accountability Institute, Peter Schweitzer's group has done an incredible job on a number of different reports on teachers' unions. Some of the things that they've uncovered, the majority of teachers identify as conservative, but the teachers' unions, I want to talk a little bit about how they spend their money, Aaron, the money that they bring in through in political activism, because 99% of the donations that the teachers' unions make go to Democrats. And so let's just talk about that for a second. How do teachers' unions bring their money in? How do they get the money that they have? And then how are they, what are the different pockets where they're using that money? Because I don't want anybody, I remember being in my kids, one of my kids' kindergarten classrooms, it was the third kid who had had this teacher, actually it was first grade. And I had just come from like a district event and I was sitting there and she knows me, right? I know her well. She's, you know, been with me for a course of years with these kids. And I said to her, I said, do you know, are you a member of the union? She said, yeah, I know I am. And I said, do you have any idea what they're bargaining? Like, I just want to, like, we don't have to get into details about it. I don't want to, but do you know what they're asking for? Are you, and she said, you know what, Tiffany, I really don't, I have no idea. I'm so busy in the classroom with the kids every day. And I really don't. And so is that, I do think that happens a lot. So let's just pull the curtain way back, Aaron, and educate us on this issue.
Yeah, let's start at step one. So you become a public school teacher in America today. When you become a teacher, you're given all these documents to sign. And amongst that is a union membership card. So if you sign the membership card, what then happens is union dues, most states become automatically deducted from your paycheck every month, just like taxes are. So most teachers really don't even like pay attention to it, which is one of the reasons we've worked on legislation specifically in Florida and Arkansas to stop that automatic dues payment from happening.
We just did it.
Teachers
in
Florida. Are going to be members. Yeah, exactly right. Governor DeSantis, we worked very closely with him to get this bill passed. Awesome. So we've seen that now happen in some states. And so if you're going to be a member of a union, make the teacher write a check or make them give them their credit card information. This shouldn't be like taxes deducted from their paycheck. So then what happens is the union takes that money. And I did a report for Fox News just yesterday. And they self-reported, this is the National Education Association, they self-reported that they spent 34% of their budget, it's $176 million, on political gifts, on gifts to nonprofits, C3s and C4s, and lobbying. They spent 8% of their budget, or $40 million, on what they call representational activities, which means representing teachers. So they're spending quadruple that number on gifts to nonprofits, on political gifts, and lobbying. So I don't think there's any argument today that teachers' unions like the NEA exist to represent teachers. They exist to be a political entity.
So I just want to talk about this for a second because I want you to continue on our path to understanding. But giving the money to nonprofits, parents, this is how they change the culture. You know, these community partnerships that they want, where they want the school and the community to work together, and then they invite people in, you know, to meet all of the needs of the whole child. And who doesn't want that, Aaron? What kind of a monster doesn't want children to get everything that they need? And then all of a sudden, you have other people in your school talking to your children about things called life skills or social emotional balance and learning. So those gifts, that money, that $176 million works in service of changing the culture of our country. Aaron, I just had to add that in. Please continue.
No, you're exactly right. They're doing it so they can pursue their radical political agenda. There's no two ways about it. I mean, you talk about tip of the iceberg, sex ed and critical race theory, two issues that they've been talking about for several years now at the teachers' unions. They're able to fund these nonprofits that a lot of times they create to go out and change culture and change the classroom from the outside. And they're doing this with teachers' money.
But we're the AstroTurf organization. Right?
Yeah.
But Moms for Liberty isn't the real grass. Right, please. Okay, Randy. Sorry that everybody's got your number now. COVID helped us to do that. I love when Corey DeAngelis says, you know, thank you, Randy Weingarten, for single-handedly doing more to advance the school choice movement than any one person. You truly have, Randy. So Aaron, continue. So they bring all this money in and now they're spending it 34% on political activism and gifting nonprofits to change our culture, and only 8% on representational. What is representational activities? What are those? Just out of curiosity.
Basically, it's money that's going towards actually representing teachers.
In bargaining, in support, and
in grievance disputes, that type of stuff. Yeah. So, like, actually, you know, that 8%. If there's going to be public employee unions in America, and some would argue there isn't, there's no need for it. But that 8% is arguably what should be unions should be doing. The rest of it is all it's overhead, it's administration, it's paying the employees, and a lot of these employees, like Becky Pringle in the NEA's case, Randy Weingarten in the AFT case, they're making $400,000 to $500,000 a year.
Wow.
I mean, they're literally making 10 times the annual teacher salary to take money from them and spend them on politics. That's, I mean, it's completely absurd.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. That's a lot of money. You know, and here's the thing. The unions have become the foot soldiers for the progressive far left, haven't they?
I actually think it's the opposite. I think that the unions, like the teachers' unions, are not only the number one funder of radical policies in America, but they're also the policy maker.
I agree. Yeah.
They're the ones creating these policies and forcing it upon the politicians that they give money to.
Correct. And they get a lot of, you know, on this, if you listen to this podcast, you know that I've mentioned before, they get a lot of direction from UNESCO and the United Nations. There's a lot of global interference into America and American education, and the teachers unions are all too willing to do the bidding. Remember, go to Google search, NEA curriculum for the Sustainable Development Goals, Agenda 2030. Go and look that up. They have a whole curriculum that they would like to use. You can go to Share My Lesson and type in things. You can see all the different lesson plans and things that the unions want to give to teachers on a silver platter to change our culture and to drive a wedge between you and your child. And so when they are giving money politically, how are they giving that money, Aaron? How do they spend money in politics?
Yeah, it's 98-99% going towards Democrats. And what the agenda that they're really pursuing, one is a pro-tax agenda. They want more money for government, so that means raising taxes. So that could be property taxes, it could be capital gains taxes. I mean, you go through the list, they're pro-tax as much as they can get. And then there's this social cultural agenda, like the sex ed, like the critical race theory. Basically, they want to raise the next generation of Democrat voters. They want to raise the next generation of people that rely on the government. They do not want the next generation of private sector work. They don't want CEOs coming out of public schools. They don't want people that are going to start their own businesses and create.
Why not? Why?
Because that doesn't fit in with the government narrative. They want everybody working and relying on the government because that's what they control. When you have private sector businesses, they create private sector jobs. They create wealth. They create all these things that are completely against the teachers' union's rhetoric. So they are pro-socialism, anti-capitalism. So that's the bucket that they fit into. And for me personally, that's the issue that really drives me, is I want America to be a free, prosperous, and capitalist economy. But the unions are trying to do the complete opposite and turn us into a socialist nation. So that's what gets me up every morning to do this job.
Well, I'm so glad to have met you because that gets me up too. I'm very frustrated about the control that they have, and I'm doing everything I can every day to make sure that I disrupt that. Let's talk about some of the ridiculous demands that the unions have. Most recently, Chicago Teachers Union, just reading an article that says they are calling for an extra $50 billion to pay for wage hikes. We don't have any problem, by the way, with teachers making more money. Just want to make that really clear at Moms for Liberty. Love teachers, think they should get really great salaries. In fact, Randy, why don't you carve up some of that salary and give it to some teachers? I bet they would like the extra money. They want fully paid abortions for all of the members. That's very nice. What about advocating for teachers to have better conditions when they're pregnant and having babies? That would be an interesting way to look at things, right? But no. New migrant services and facilities. I would imagine, Aaron, they're very interested in flooding schools with new students since they're losing so many students now. That becomes a problem for them, especially if schools start closing, huh, and consolidating. That's going to be an issue. And so I'm just looking to see, and a host of LGBT related requirements and trainings in school. I think they wanted all of their transit. I think they want every teacher and student's transit to be free, which Chicago doesn't have nearly the amount of money to be able to pay for that. The average salary for a teacher in Chicago public schools is, do you want to guess at this? Do you have any idea?
No.
$93,000. A year. And this is just, it's pretty wild. Chicago Tribune reports that the CPS budget will exceed $9 billion this year, up nearly 30% from $7.4 billion just 5 years ago. Student achievement, ladies and gentlemen, has continued to decline in Chicago public schools. So Aaron, more money doesn't always mean better student achievement, does it?
No, and there's lots of research out there that shows some of the highest paying, some of the highest per capita spending per student cities are some of the lowest performing cities. And Chicago is right up there along with Philadelphia and a couple of others that I'm forgetting. But yeah, so what we're seeing is the higher the spending per student, the lower the outcomes. So the definition of insanity is throw more money at this problem. I mean, Chicago public schools are some of the worst in America, not just in terms of education, in terms of safety even. And so, yeah, if you're a parent living in Chicago, I mean, I would have fear sending my kids to some of these schools.
It's criminal.
It should be. But the teachers unions are completely, they own the system there. I mean, they control the school board. They spent a record amount of money electing Brandon Johnson to be the new mayor of Chicago.
Because Lori Lightfoot, who is not like a conservative Republican by any means, was not a friend to the teachers unions during COVID. She went to battle with them time and time again.
Yeah, me and Lori Lightfoot disagree on practically everything except for, she said that schools should reopen during COVID. Yeah. And that was reason enough for them to primary her and get Brandon Johnson elected. And they funded his campaign to the tune of millions of dollars.
So, you know, Corey DeAngelis is a friend, and you know, I watch the interactions that he has with a lot of different people. I've been really shocked. It's so interesting to go around the country. I've been lucky enough to be able to travel, and I was in New York City, and they have a cap on charter schools, right? But 23 of the top 25 schools in New York City happen to be charter schools, and that's interesting. And so, you know, Corey has said before, if you like your school, keep your school. Right? But the idea that you've got parents who have their children trapped in public schools, like in Chicago, where they had a school choice program to a certain degree, and then now Pritzker and Johnson revoking that they don't want kids to be able to have the choice as to where they go to school, or for parents to be able to choose. A lot of systems, you talked about the system being, you know, captured. It's in red states, it's in blue states. You know, my experience in Florida has been that the unions have a lot of control over what is actually happening inside of the school buildings, and oftentimes are really working to kind of thumb their nose at any type of reform. Is that what you're seeing as well?
Yeah, Tiffany, I think that Corey obviously knows far more on the topic of school choice than probably anybody else does. Look at the motivation of the teachers' unions and just take a step back and let's figure out why they are against school choice. Well, you have teachers, let's say in Chicago, where if they go to a public school, they're paying union dues. If they teach at a private school, they're not paying union dues. So if you give parents the option to get out of a failing public school and take those dollars from the public school and apply it to a charter school, or whatever, you start to lose some of these teachers in public schools, and they start, the better ones certainly, start to go to private schools or charter schools because they can make more money there and they can teach in a better working environment. So the teachers' unions have a direct incentive to stop school choice from happening. And they spend tens, probably hundreds of millions of dollars every year on preventing school choice from being advocated in America. And Corey knows the stats better than I do, but there have been almost, I think it was just over a dozen school choice bills that have been passed in the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they have been in red states where teachers unions don't have a large influence. So if we want this really to snowball across the whole country, we have to remove the teachers' union's influence from politics.
I absolutely agree with you. I think it's fascinating to me. I've been watching. The left has 21,000 single-issue organizations that they use to constantly have a relationship and contact with the people that they want to vote for the issues that they care about, the candidates that they want. And I think the right and conservatives haven't done a very good job of having that sustained relationship with their voters, right? Moms for Liberty is built out of, you know, bringing people together on this issue of parental rights, and then saying to candidates, hey, you can meet us here. this is what we care about. And if you care about this too, you should let us know. And I really think Americans in general are ready to get past all candidates and get focused on the issues. None of this.
But Tiffany, let me just add something to that, in that groups like Moms for Liberty, I'm pretty sure you have a C3 and C4. Yes. So I think you have some political advocacy. We at the Freedom Foundation do not. We do not engage in politics directly. We are just a 501c3. But I will say this. Organizations like yours and like ours rely on private individuals that want to support our organizations. They actively write a check to support the mission and what we're doing. Whereas on the left, they have this funding mechanism that's built by government unions. So they don't need private support. They just take support. They take money from teachers and other public employees and funnel it into their pet issues. That's the primary difference between the mechanisms between the left and the right today.
And when you talked about that, $176 million, as we started talking about, you know, the union supporting nonprofits, there it is, right? It's this, you know, continued engagement with people and trying to connect with them on issues. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the things, you know, Aaron, when you look at the teachers' unions and their summer conferences, I am always shocked that they never talk about education. They never talk about literacy. They never talk about any of the things that parents would expect. If you said to parents, give me the top five things that you think they talked about at the teachers union conference, I'm going to guess that Ukraine and abortion wouldn't be on the top five list of what parents thought were discussed. But it is, isn't it? I mean, can you talk about that for a second?
Yeah. So the teachers unions, I mean, basically what happens is teachers have to do professional development credits to keep their teaching licenses. So the teacher union seminars, the annual meetings that they do, they're not required for teachers, but they're a good way to go and get professional development credits. So you look at the agenda. I mean, yeah, it's Ukraine, it's LGBTQ rights, it's race issues. It's nothing to do with education. So when we created our teacher conference, our goal was really, of course, like I said earlier, to equip them with how to fight their teachers unions. But the other thing was to give them professional resources that would help them. Like, one big issue that we heard over the past year is how to deal with behaviors in the classroom.
Yes.
Like, that's a big issue right now. And nobody is helping teachers to go and to equip them to how to deal with that. So, yeah, we're bringing in professional speakers to help teachers to do that. Things that we should be seeing from the teachers' unions, and we're just seeing a complete political agenda. Because, like I said, their goal is politics. Their primary purpose is politics. It's not educating our kids. And you need no further proof of that by looking at those conferences and looking at where they spend their money.
100%. And then looking at the scores in the schools, looking at, you know, what the percentage of kids that can read. And only a third of American children are reading on grade level. And some of the places that we talked about, like New York, only 11% of Black kids are reading on grade level in New York City public schools. And it's just absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, and I actually argue, Tiffany, that they have a direct incentive for lower outcomes in schools where they don't have school choice, like New York, because then they can argue for more funding. And then they get more money.
Yep.
To then go and do more political stuff with. So they actually, I believe, they have a direct incentive for lower performance in our classrooms than they do higher performance.
All right, so then I have to ask you, when... In Florida, we closed schools on March 13th in 2020. I was standing in a school district office. I remember just thinking to myself, oh, this is really bad. This is going to be really, really bad. I don't know how this is going to happen, and nobody else does either. And wow, I can't believe we're doing this. And then I saw the teachers union, who I like wasn't a huge fan of, to be honest with you, but like when the Florida Education Association sued Governor DeSantis to keep schools closed, and then they sent me, I had a teacher give me a receipt for her funeral, and I was told that I had blood on my hands because I wanted to reopen schools, and it was a really wild thing to be a part of. But when they sued, I was like, really? You're going to sue to keep the schools closed? And then we talked about Chicago a little bit. I think there was a woman from Chicago who like posted some pics from her beach vacay in the middle of closed schools. Were you surprised in any fashion about how the teachers unions handled COVID? Was it shocking, or were you like, oh no, this is right on course?
I think I was hopeful of their motivations. I think when COVID first came down, me, my wife, she was a public school teacher at the time. We didn't know what to expect. I mean, you know, this is being advertised as COVID as a killer of like anybody that it touches. But it became obvious, I think, really after 2 or 3 weeks that it really wasn't that. And, you know, they kept tagging the phrase, follow the science. Well, the science showed very early on that kids should have been back in the classrooms and schools should have been reopened. That was very apparent. But they used school closures the same way that they do teacher strikes to pursue their own political agenda. I mean, you look at some of the school districts where they made demands before they reopened schools. Some of it was loosely connected, like, you know, our teachers should get vaccinated first, and our teachers should have better health care, and blah, blah, blah. So some of it's like, I can see how they got there. But the rest of it was funding for homeless projects. It was funding for Black Lives Matter protests, which were obviously big at the time. I mean, the crazy radical political stuff that they were pursuing, they used the crisis to their benefit, and the people that suffered most were our children. I look at every suicide, and the suicide numbers were a lot higher than they should have been. That's devastating. These are kids that never would have died because of COVID. That's right. That were killing themselves.
No, you're absolutely right, and it makes me very angry. Honestly, when I saw that picture of Joe Biden with his arm around Randy Weingarten, like they're buddies, just blood boiling stuff. And I think it's been a gift in some ways, Aaron, COVID, because it woke America up. I think there are a lot of people that had no idea about the power that the teachers unions had, about the way that they're changing our country. And I think people woke up and I think they saw it. You know, they saw Randy giving advice to Rochelle Walensky at the CDC, and they saw the CDC's recommendation for masking being used as a compelling interest against their fundamental rights as parents. And we're awake now and we're not going back to sleep. And just very excited that there are groups like yours that are out there that want to help teachers to leave the union, because we love teachers and we want them to see them be able to teach again in the classroom. So tell us about the Nationwide Opt-Out Project, and then just a little bit more information about how teachers can contact you, upcoming events that you have, anything that you'd like to share.
Sure. Thank you, Tiffany. Yeah. So we run this campaign, and any teacher or any public employee, frankly, listening that's a member of a union, go to optouttoday.com to opt out of a union, stop paying those union dues. For anyone that's on the fence about doing this, my advice, try it. Try it for 3 months. If you're a teacher, summer holidays are coming up. Try it for the summer. See if you miss the union. Most times I give people this challenge, they come back to me and they say they don't. So my advice is try it. If you're skeptical, we exist to help public employees to get out of their union. So we do canvassing. We go to these teachers' homes. We go to the public employees' offices. We send mail, emails, digital marketing, just about any way that you can think of to contact public employees. We're doing it to get them out of their unions, and that has led to the largest decline of union membership in U.S. history. We do that as the Freedom Foundation. We're a 501c3 nonprofit, just like Moms for Liberty. Our website is freedomfoundation.com. I'd encourage you to go in there and engage with some of the materials that we have, and support this campaign to get people out of their unions.
Awesome. Are you doing another Teacher Freedom Summit anytime soon for teachers?
Yes, this summer. And you can go on freedomfoundation.com. You can get to the application for it. It's July 8th through 10 in Denver, Colorado. We're accepting 400 to 500 applications this year. So would love to see some teachers apply.
Wonderful. All right. Well, Aaron, I'm so thankful that you came on the Joyful Warrior podcast to share all of your information. Teachers, you do not need to be a member of the union. Go to freedomfoundation.com today. Learn more about how you leave the union and join the sanity in America, where we're fighting for freedom and liberty. I hope you have a wonderful day, Aaron. Joyful Warriors, have a great day.
Thank you, Tiffany.